The following is a Sunday feast Bhagavad Gita lecture, 4th chapter, text 11, given by Srila Arunda Swarup Das on April 5th, 1992.
As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Vrinda. Now I'll read Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse. Everyone is searching for Krishna in the different aspects of his manifestations. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is partially realized in his impersonal Brahma-jyoti effulgence. And as the all-pervading super soul dwelling within everything, including the particles of atoms. But Krishna is fully realized only by his pure devotees. Consequently, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization. And thus anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have him. In the transcendental world also, Krishna reciprocates with his pure devotees in the transcendental attitude, just as the devotee wants him. One devotee may want Krishna as Supreme Master, another as his personal friend, another as his son, and still another as his lover. Krishna rewards all the devotees equally according to their different intensities of love for him. In the material world, the same reciprocations of feelings are there, and they are equally exchanged by the Lord with the different types of worshippers. The pure devotees, both here and in the transcendental abode, associate with him in person and are able to render personal service to the Lord and thus derive transcendental bliss in his loving service. As for those who are impersonalist and who want to commit spiritual suicide by annihilating the individual existence of the living entity, Krishna helps also by absorbing them into his effulgence. Such impersonalists do not agree to accept the eternal blissful personality of Godhead. Consequently, they cannot relish the bliss of transcendental personal service to the Lord, having extinguished their individuality. Some of them who are not firmly situated, even in the impersonal existence, return to this material field to exhibit their dormant desire for activities. They are not admitted into the spiritual planets, but they are again given a chance to act on the material planets. For those who are fruitive workers, the Lord awards the desired results of their prescribed duties as the Yajneshwara. And those who are yogis seeking mystic power are awarded such powers. In other words, everyone is dependent for success upon his mercy alone, and all kinds of spiritual processes are but different degrees of success on the same path. Unless, therefore, one comes to the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, all attempts remain imperfect, as is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10, Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udharadi tivrena bhakti yogena yajita purusham param. Whether one is without desire, the condition of devotees, or is desirous of all fruitive results, or is after liberation, one should with all efforts try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. So the text again. Ye yata mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajam yaham Mama Vartmanu Vartante Manushya Vartasaravashaha. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Britta. So it is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that those who are knowers of the Absolute Truth have encountered that Absolute in three different features. Bhagavatam says, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan, Iti Shabjite. They say these three features. Sometimes there's a dispute as to whether the Absolute Truth is personal or impersonal. But here, Bhagavatam says both. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan Iti. As one approaches, then one encounters in a different aspect. Here in the Bhagavatam, however, they're given in an order of ascending intimacy. Brahman, or the Brahma Jyoti effulgence, is considered by Bhagavatam to be the outer precincts of the Absolute Truth. It is the effulgence coming off of Krishna. And this Brahma Jyoti is encountered as all-pervading spiritual light, sometimes described as the light beyond the light. It's described as being undifferentiated oneness, and so on. But Bhagavatam says also another aspect, Paramatma, whereas Brahman is realized by those who pursue the Absolute Truth by the method of Jnana Yoga, by those who try to ascend to the Absolute by Ashtanga Yoga, they encounter that same Absolute Truth in another feature as Paramatma, as the indwelling Antaryami, the Supersoul within the heart. And just as every living being is a soul, so the soul of all souls, situated in the heart of everyone, is the Supersoul. This is the aspect of the Lord as the controller of the material energies, as the soul of the universe, as the all-pervading controller of everything that we see. This is super soul feature, and supreme intelligence is encountered by the yogis as situated within their own heart. Shastra says that when the yogi actually sees the Lord in the heart, they see him as a four-armed form of Vishnu, this big, from here to here. He actually appears at this size. That's another aspect of the Supreme. And finally, it mentions Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the Supreme personal feature of the Absolute Truth. Bhagavan, this is Sri Krishna. You see everywhere in the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Bhagavan. Bhagavan feature is complete realization according to Srimad Bhagavatam. And that when Bhagavan is realized, automatically also Paramatma is realized and also Brahma Jyoti is realized. Because when you have $1, you've automatically got 50 cents and 25 cents. It's all included in here. So, in any way, whoever is approaching from any of these ways, it is still the same absolute truth. And so he says, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization. That is, all three classes. These are transcendentalists, people who try to understand and realize the absolute truth, the ultimate source of all energies. Of course, there's another group of people who aren't interested in that. We'll talk about them a little later on. But as far as the transcendentalist is concerned, in either of these three aspects, as they approach me in that way, I will disclose myself to them. Krishna is the object of everyone's realization, and thus anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have him. And then Prabhupada goes on to say, in the transcendental world also, Krishna reciprocates with his pure devotees in the transcendental attitude. Now this deserves some more comment here. Though Krishna is absolute, still he relates to his devotees. So you might say there's an element of relativity within the absolute truth. We've got to call it transcendental relativity. So here when he says in the transcendental world, this is the spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God. And there is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is fully present there as a person. This is the... Now when we say person, people, especially from the West, they're a little surprised what we mean when we say person. Because person means actually that God has form. This is Vedic understanding. For example, in Christianity, there's a notion that God is a person too. But usually, still, that thought that, as one philosopher, William James, said, a kind of mental personality, a little abstract from a normal, not embodied, or not with a form. Although in the Bible, it is definitely stated that in the liberated state, those who go to the kingdom of God have spiritual bodies. This is in the Greek, I think, pneumatikon soma. They have spiritual bodies. It is not often noticed that if the devotees have spiritual bodies, then also God would have a similar idea. But in Vaishnava thought, it's very well spelled out that Krishna has got spiritual form. When the Lord is spoken of as formless, that is to deny that he has a form made of matter. In this material world, we are eternal spiritual beings in a temporary material body. And this is not a very good situation for us. We are spirit and our body is material. We are eternal and our body is temporary. It's made of decaying stuff. And it gives us all kinds of problems. Birth, death, old age, disease, good and bad reactions to our deeds. All this comes from this material body. So when one wants to become liberated, he may think, oh, let me have nothing to do with bodies. Bodies are bad. And so the idea of a form or a body is rejected. But that would be a mistake. The notion is sometimes there that if God had a body, a form, it would be a material body like ours. And in this way, we're carrying over our idea of the deficiencies of this world into that of transcendence. There's a story that is told by Prabhupada's spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to illustrate this fault. He tells the story about a bargeman, a boatman in India, whose job it was to tow a barge. Now, there's a canal and a towpath, and this poor man's job was to take the tow rope on his shoulder and trudge along the towpath, hauling this barge all day long. It was a horrible job. And the worst feature of this job, as far as the boatman was concerned, was that his feet would hurt. That the towpath was very rough and rocky and full of thorns and sharp things, and his feet were always getting cut and bruised. And so, while he towed the rope and hauled this barge, the boatman dreamt of the day when he would be rich. Somehow or other, he would come into a vast fortune. He would be rich beyond anyone's wildest conception. And he thought that what he would do when he had all this money is he would purchase a huge quantity of mattresses, line the towpath along the canal so that when he hauled the barges, his feet wouldn't hurt. So he couldn't imagine that if he had so much money, he wouldn't have to haul the barge. He's so absorbed in his condition that the idea of being free from that. So sometimes people think that in spiritual existence, there's individuality for me, or individuality for God, or form for me, or form for God. Oh, those things are horrible. When I was a fairly new devotee, I was out purchasing some things for the deities. I was dressed like this, and I was in the shop of a very cynical businessman. And he saw me. He said he wanted to talk to me about philosophy, you know, because he saw I was a devotee. And he said, "You want to know my philosophy, kid? I'll tell you my philosophy." He says, "My philosophy is people stink." So I looked at him and I could see that, you know, he probably went through a horrible divorce. His partners probably cheated him. His sons and daughters wouldn't talk to him. You know, he had all these horrible experiences, and people stink. How are you going to say to a person like this, you know, God is a person? By definition, people stink. Or that you in your liberated state will be a person. Those people, when they think of transcendence, they think, no more people. If I'm liberated, that's the last thing I want to be or I want to see. So they have this notion that liberation or freedom is entirely impersonal. But we shouldn't carry the defects of personality or form that we see in this world over to transcendence, because that would also be a defect. Here we're saying about the absolute truth, which is supposed to be the greatest of all and the source of everything. We want to describe that, and if all we can say is has no name, has no form, has no quality, has no activities, has no relationships, how does that differ from nothing at all? We're supposed to be describing the greatest, and instead we've just described a big zero. So all these things in their defective material way, they're absent. But in a superior spiritual manner, the original nature, real form, real qualities, real activities, those are present in Krishna, not the imitations that we see here in this material world. So, the fullness of the Absolute Truth is realized when Krishna is realized. That realization takes place, as Prabhupada explains in this purport, also in this world. He says in the spiritual world, there's another world, another life, in the kingdom of God. Well, what is going on in the kingdom of God? That's described in Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna is eternally engaged in ever-increasing, ever-intensifying pastimes of love with his devotees. And he reciprocates them. Here's another meaning of yayatam mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. This word bhajami literally means worship. As they surrendered to me, so I worship them. Actually, that's the literal meaning. And in the fullest, most intense and intimate love of God, that full meaning is there. The devotee worships Krishna, and Krishna worships the devotee right back again. Sometimes the impersonalists want to become God, but actually sometimes the devotees become greater than God. Not that they are, but to satisfy Krishna's desire, he makes them that way. Then we'll see. They reciprocate with him. One devotee may want Krishna as Supreme Master, another as his personal friend, another as his son, still another as his lover. So there are five relationships that are mentioned here. Well, here there are four. These are called in Sanskrit rasa. Rasa means, literally it means juice. But here it means the taste or flavor of a relationship. We enter into different relationships with people, and in that there's a certain kind of flavor. That's called rasa. So the authorities, the sages who have looked at the revealed pastimes of Krishna and analyzed them, they've seen these rasas, these kinds of relationships. Four or sometimes five are mentioned. Five is barely a rasa, but it's there. It's called shanta rasa. Shanta means passive adoration. I am very aware that God is great, He's so great, and I'm very small, and there's love for God. But this sense of difference, that He's so great and I'm so small, I'm so insignificant next to Him, the overwhelming sense of His power and majesty, is that I simply am paralyzed and I can offer prayers, but that's it. The notion of rendering some service is not really present, because what can I do? He's so great and I'm so small. So this is called shantaras, or passive adoration. But sometimes there's this feeling of love, and then something else is added, the notion of activity. Let me do some service. So here one thinks of God as the master. He is the master and I am the servant. One feels very much subordinate. But there's a notion, let me do something. Let me go and do something for him. Let me render some service. Even though it may be insignificant, still the impulse is there to do it. And you can see this sometime. I remember seeing something like this when I was a child. And I lived in a little town in Oklahoma. And one very, very big event was, in that time, when a famous baseball player, Mickey Mantle, came to visit, and all of us kids went to see him. And I remember the people reacted differently. He was there and everybody was around him. You get very close in those days. They didn't have bodyguards and things. And some kids were just awestruck. They just stood there, you know, they were like paralyzed because a great baseball player was there. And I remember some other kid came, just walked right up and said, "Can I carry your glove?" Dashara. So you see, I want to do something. Let me just carry your glove. You know? So there's an impulse to do some service. So that's another relationship with Krishna, or with the Supreme. Then, going further, he says here, some as the master, another as his personal friend. This is a more intimate relationship. At this point, in order to facilitate this relationship, Krishna has a power which is called Yoga Maya. And by that Yoga Maya power, he conceals from the devotee the gulf between them. We say ontological gulf, that he's great and I'm small. And allows the devotee to approach him as a friend. This is the relationship that we see that Arjuna has with Krishna. They are in a friendly relationship. After all, it will be boring for God if everyone looks at him like he is and has to go around in terror and respect. There's no friendship. He would be deprived of the full emotional life that even we can enjoy in the material world. So therefore, it's because some devotees have this desire, some souls, to love God as an equal, as a friend, in a fraternal relationship. So he says, with that soul, then I respond. And in Krishna's pastimes, we see that Krishna, with the cowherd boy, going out and playing, just like one kid with a bunch of other kids. This is not just play. This is pastimes in which ecstasy is being developed through this relationship of friendship, sakya. So to some he's a master, and to some he's just a friend. It's told in Srimad Bhagavatam that when all the devatas, the great powers who control the universe, came to offer prayers to Krishna, Subal, his coward friends, were just standing there with their arms draped over his shoulder. These close pastimes you see in Vrindavan. There's one manifestation of the Supreme as Narayan, four-handed Narayan form. With Narayan, you will see Dasha, and that's his majesty is there. So it says that as Narayan in Vaikuntha, the Lord's majesty overpowers his beauty. But as Krishna, his beauty overpowers his majesty. So that's why the pastimes of Krishna are set in a village. There's no big fanfare of royal life or city life. So there, because some of us have this eternal relationship with Krishna, now we've forgotten, but it's there as friend, so he relates that way. Then it says, another devotee sees Krishna as his son. The devotee takes the role of a parent, like Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj. They're a parent of Krishna, and he's a child. Here's where the devotee is as though he's superior. And Krishna, for them, he appears like a small child. And they're thinking, I have to take care of him. They don't really like to think that he's all-powerful. But they have to think that they have to take care of him. Of course, they love Krishna like anything. But this is their feeling. They take care of him like a child. Mm-hmm. In one sense, of course, Krishna is everyone's father. And we're the children of God. So sometimes that God the Father you see everywhere. That relationship with God is like the Father, and I'm like the child, son or daughter. That, according to this analysis, is dasha, like servitorship. Is a form of servitorship. But this relationship, because actually that also has a notion of the Father is there to give me things. But this relationship, parental, vatsalya rasa, I have to take care of Krishna and do everything for him. And then finally, there's madhurya, or conjugal love. Krishna and the gopis, where they love Krishna like two varieties. One is like a wife and a husband, or one like girlfriend and boyfriend. Even more intimate, really. None of the routine of normal married life. So this is these relationships are all originally there in Krishna. Janma dasa yataha. He's that from which everything comes. We see these relationships are here in this world, so they're originally there in the Supreme. But the relationships as they are exhibited in this world are not satisfactory. All those relationships are eclipsed. Because we are related to Krishna, naturally we also want to form relationships. Krishna is social, and we are also essentially social beings. But when we form these relationships on the basis of the material body, they are broken and they come to an end and they cannot satisfy us. Because they're done on the bodily platform, we are spirit, but what we relate to is the material body. So actually all our real relationships are meant to be primarily with Krishna. That's the relationship that will not be broken and that will always satisfy us. And here Krishna says, as you approach me, if you approach me in any one of these rasas, I reciprocate with you in the same way. And if you approach me as a yogi, I'll be that way. If you want to, if you don't like this idea of personal existence, you're not that interested, you want to become absorbed into the Brahma Jyoti, lose your individuality, then also that he facilitates. Everything is facilitated by Krishna. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, if you're worshipping Anya Devata, if you're worshipping other gods, he doesn't really say that's a good idea. He said, because your fruit will be limited and temporary. But if you worship them, I'm the one that makes your faith strong, and I'm the one that impels that Devata to grant you your desire. So he's giving that too. He says, if you're worshipping the other gods, the Devatas, demigods, he said, you're really worshipping me. But Krishna says, it's avidipurvakam. It's really not proper. It's not done in the right way. Better to approach me directly, he said. But whatever it is, whether you're performing these karmakanda activities of yajna, he's yajneshwari, he gives you the result of the rituals that you perform. So whatever you're doing, in some way Prabhupada says everyone is looking for Krishna. Even if they're not even spiritualists, but in the material world, when someone is seeking for beauty, or someone is seeking for truth in some field or another, really they're looking for Krishna. Krishna says in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Vedaishta sarava ahameva veja. All processes of knowledge are just as seeking after me. When a scientist are trying to break atoms into smaller and smaller and smaller parts, trying to find out what's in the middle of it, we know what's in the middle from Shastra. Bhagavad Gita says Krishna's there, Paramatma, in the atom. He's there. And when with telescopes you go out to find the greatest, that's also Krishna. So knowingly or unknowingly, everyone is searching for Krishna. And whatever he says, all kinds of spiritual processes are but different degrees of success on the same path. So the soul by nature, we're bent for Krishna. We should know that, because Krishna's direction is in the Bhagavad Gita. He looks at all the different processes given in the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is about dharma. It even begins in the Dharma Kshetra. It's about dharma. What should I do? What religion, what activities, what are my duties? And so you find in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna goes through all different dharmas. All these different paths that we've mentioned are there in the Bhagavad Gita. The worship of the devatas, the performance of sacrifice, jnana yoga is discussed, astanga yoga is discussed, all these things. And Krishna shows in the Bhagavad Gita that all these different paths in the Vedas are just different ways of coming to Him. Vedaishta sarva aham eva vedya. These different Vedas, they're just going to Him. Say you're trying to become wise. You're looking for jnana. You're looking for knowledge. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate. You become successful after many births. Jnanavan, you gain jnana. What will you do? Mam prapadyate. You surrender to me. Vasudeva sarvam. You'll say, Krishna Vasudeva is everything. But Samahatma Sudurlabhata, a great soul like that you don't see on every street corner. This is rare. So whatever you're doing, it's just a different way of coming to me. So Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Puritjaja Mahamekam Saranam Bhaja. Therefore, make a quick work of it. Give up all these different dharmas and Mahamekam Saranam Bhaja. Come to me directly. For taking shelter. That's his advice there. And here Prabhupada repeats similar advice given in Srimad Bhagavatam. What is your desire? Akama. If you have no desires whatsoever. Or sarvakama. If you have all desires. No end of desires. Or mokshakama. If you're desirous of liberation. Akama is higher than moksha kama. But whatever it is, udaradi, if you are a person with broad intelligence, then tivrena bhakti yogena, by all means, you should engage in intense, tivra means intense, like the sun's rays are called tivra. Yajeta purusham prabhu. By bhakti yogena, worship, by bhakti yoga, you should worship the Supreme Person, Purusham Param. That's his advice everywhere. Because all these things, if you'll come to final success, you will see it comes to Krishna consciousness. And so that's his statement here. Yeyatam mam prapadyante, as they surrender to me. To the degree that they surrender to me, and in the kind, quality also, what both, as much as they surrender to me, as to the degree they surrender to me, I give myself back to them. We surrender to Krishna 100%, Krishna gives himself to us 100%. He doesn't hold back. We hold back, he holds back. But he says, Mama Vardmanu Vartante Manusha Parita Sarvajana. All people are following Mama Vartma, my path, Sarvajaha, in all respects. Thank you very much. Anyone have any questions they'd like to ask about this? Comments? Objections? Yeah? Yeah.
And also in the Bible it says that one has to have a by meeting with Jesus Christ to get to God. And in this process it states that you should have a spiritual master.
Yeah.
So, but it stated that one can go to Krishna directly.
Yeah, by not taking, but directly means by directly by the process of bhakti yoga. But when Krishna says, how do you surrender to him, and you want to actually achieve that surrender, he says that you have to come to my devotee. Krishna says that one who says he is my devotee is not my devotee, but one who becomes the devotee of my devotee, then I accept him. You may think that if I have to approach a guru or go through some intermediary, then it's not direct. But actually, it's direct. Prabhupada describes a spiritual master as, and people won't believe this, but he describes it as him as a transparent medium. not translucent, not opaque, but transparent. So if we want to satisfy Krishna, Krishna says, I'm not really, actually, it's very difficult to satisfy Krishna, he has everything. What do you give the person that has everything? If there's a rich man, I want to make him satisfied, I would have to spend a fortune. But if he's got a little child and I give the child a 2-cent lollipop, then the man is satisfied. I made his child happy. So in the same way, if we make Krishna's devotee, we please Krishna's devotees, then Krishna is very pleased. So Krishna says, you want to serve me, you serve my devotee, and then you're serving me. That service I accept. Otherwise, it's not so relishable. So this is what I meant by direct. You come to Krishna, not through any other process, but you can come to Krishna without having to perform sacrifice, without having to learn Sanskrit and Sankhya philosophy and all those things. If you can just somehow or other take to devotional service directly, the process of bhakti yoga, then that's what he wants. But that process means the first step in bhakti yoga is to associate with devotees and learn from them. Okay?